Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get your project started right with our huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, from installing a walkway to setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. My name is Dave Schrader. I'm your host into the world of the unseen. Along with me for this journey, the lovely and talented Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening, sir.
You know, you feel weird. You come out of a show like that and, interviews like that, and you know, where do you take it? I mean, we're gonna just carry forward with the rest of the show and do our fun news with Adrian.
Yeah,
and
we'll lighten it up a bit.
Do our movie review. I got to tell you though, what gets me and chokes me up during the interview and probably right now as we're doing this is the fact that I'm a father, and that there's crimes like this taking place to children and parents. You know, so sad how many of these parents sob on the pedestal or podium about their child, and then they had a hand in the death of their own children.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all human. We'd like to wring our kids' necks from time to time when they're acting up and being obnoxious, but to actually think about hurting or injuring a child, these sick pedophiles, sick freaks that are out there, and if you're listening to the radio show, may you all burn in hell before you ever touch another child. It sickens me that there are people like this. For God's sakes, get help. If you hear the voices nagging you in the back of your head to do something and you know that it's not right, get help. Reach out and get help. Do something before you end up destroying not only your life, but the life of so many people around that person that you want to hurt. I don't even know how to take that any further.
Mm-hmm.
This evening, we covered a bunch of different cases. We covered the case of Logan in Oklahoma that's been missing for 6 years. We covered the case of Kaylee Anthony out of Florida. We covered the case of Jacob Wetterling from Minnesota, the case of Jody Huzentrout. For any of the children that we covered, if you have tips and sincere tips, please don't be jackasses and call just to get your name in there and be a part of this. If you have a sincere tip that you think can help solve these crimes, give a call to 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-843-5678. It's a 24-hour-a-day hotline, 1-800-843-5678. If you know anybody that needs help or has seen this, they can also call that number and get some help. If you know anything about the cases that we just talked about, I implore you, if you're afraid to go forward and tell the police, contact Tim and I. Contact us at dave@darknessradio.com. Give me the information. We'll pass it on to the police departments and do it anonymously for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just crack these cases. Let's get these kids some peace and get some people to justice. That's all I ask from you. Stay with us tomorrow night. We have a lighter show. We're going to be checking into the world, Tim, of holistic healing and alternative medicines. This is pretty interesting. We met these two lovely ladies today at the conference that we were at.
The Healthy Life Expo.
Healthy Life Expo. Yep. And again, Tim and I are going to be there tomorrow with Adrian, our international correspondent. And it's at the Hopkins Eisenhower Community Center at 1001 Highway 7 in Hopkins, Minnesota. It's free to attend, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Coming out, there's a lot of fantastic people out there, a lot of great speakers, a lot of really neat people to just get to know. There's the Psy guy out there who's doing psychic readings. He's great. But we're going to be talking tomorrow to Paulette Hastings and to Alina Jansen. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Alina Jansen. We're going to be talking about NeuroStrength, a fitness center for the brain. Tim, this was an amazing deal. They showed me how it works, and it's actually utilizing the sounds that your brain makes and the patterns, I guess, to help you realign your brain so that you can get rid of bad habits, depression, illness. This can even help you develop your intuitive and psychic side.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow night with those two lovly ladies in studio.
So you're saying I can become psychic through this device?
Yes, that's what they're saying. Supposedly, they know how to separate up what parts of your brain can do what and fix them. So we're going to talk to them a little bit more about that. I don't want to talk too much on it because I don't know enough. I know enough to be dangerous and probably be wrong. Wayne Perry is our second guest tomorrow night, and he's the author of Sound Medicine, an astounding book on achieving vibrational harmony through tone therapy using the human voice. To quote Mr. Perry, all pain and disease is a result of a lack of vibrational harmony in the body. This result in vibrational dissonance. This dissonance may manifest on any or all levels of the body, physical, emotional, and mental, etc. So tomorrow night, turn up your speakers as Wayne guides us in not just healing through sound, but also experience past lives and alternate dimensions. Using advanced science to measure the tonality of the human voice, this analysis is the ultimate approach to non-invasive diagnosis and treatment of many ailments. So we're going to tonalize your world tomorrow, Tim.
Yeah, it's all audio, baby.
We're going to be playing some of these tones on air. And what's creepy is this guy's voice, it sounds like a synthesizer. Wait till you hear these tones tomorrow. I don't mean it's creepy, but I mean it's amazing that he can create this tonality. So creepy, be a part of that.
Creepy like 80s R&B or what?
Yes, yeah. A little bit like that. Okay. You normally we have our Nicole Remini come on and do a movie review. Mm-hmm. Nicole's been a little under the weather. However, we both watched a movie this week. I wanted her to watch it and see what she thought on it. And I love this movie, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out in 2006, so I'm going to do the review tonight. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a 2006. It's a movie called Fido.
That's scary alone.
It is. Dude, I love zombie movies. You know mm-hmm. that about yep. me. Shaun of the Dead, one of my favorite zom-coms out there, right? Mm-hmm. It's a zombie movie that's with a comedy slant, but it's also still one of the scarier zombie movies out there, I think. You know, just some of the awkwardness of it, but it was very well done. If you have not seen Shaun of the Dead, for God's sakes, go out and rent it. It's a great movie. But this other movie is called Fido. It came out in 2006. Totally slipped past me. I don't know how this happened.
Fido is quick. So there you
yes,
go.
It is. Yeah. Very. The movie itself was great. First of all, it stars Billy Connolly, the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He was seen in Boondock Saints. He was El Duce, the big bad guy. He was also in Head of the Class, the old TV show. He took over for Howard Hessman's.
Most recently in the new X-Files movie.
That's right. That's right. He was the psychotic priest at the beginning that could see the things that he was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Billy Connolly. And Billy Connolly plays a zombie in this movie. Here, I'll give you the brief synopsis. Ready? Timmy Robinson's best friend in the whole world is a 6-foot-tall rotting zombie named Fido. But when Fido eats the next-door neighbor, Mom and Dad hit the roof. And Timmy has to go to the ends of the earth to keep Fido a part of the family. It's a boy and his zombie movie for grown-ups. I love this movie, dude. It takes place in like the 50s, 60s, that whole duck and cover era.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the premise of this is the zombie war happened, right? Zombies came out. They've learned to domesticate zombies.
Well,
so the wealthier families have zombies that do work for them. They've created a device to put around the neck of the zombies that will actually keep them from hungering for human flesh. Okay.
And instead do your housework.
Yes, and it's hilarious, dude, the whole idea of this. And everybody acts so June Cleaver and Ward Cleaver in this movie. It's an amazing little film. It's so funny and retro. What's her name? Carrie Ann Moss, is that it from?
From The Matrix.
From The Matrix. She plays the mom in this. First of all, she's stunning as this 1950s style mom. Just a beautiful woman. I didn't even realize it was her until halfway through the movie. The little boy, dude, there are knockoffs of Lassie in this. Where he and the zombie are running in the you know those famous scenes where you see Timmy and Lassie running up the grassy hills and playing. He takes his zombie out playing, and it's a really well done movie, very funny, charismatic movie, quirky. It's got some just funny little plot devices and stories. I would highly recommend. Honestly, you know, we've been saying between the ghosts and the how many lights do you have to leave on because of the scare factor.
Mm-hmm.
This has very little scare factor, but big on entertainment and fun. So I would recommend as a zombie movie and it's in the horror genre, rent it, take a look at it. It's called Fido, F-I-D-O, came out in 2006. As a matter of fact, if you're, I don't know if I can say this, but if you're a member on Netflix, you can actually watch it for free right on their site.
Really?
You can. Yeah.
Really?
It's a great movie. That's how I watched it the other day. I'm a member there and I do pay for a membership, so I'm not getting any advertising dollars out of this.
No pirates here.
But they're great. You can watch it right on their site. They do an on-demand show. But it's a hilarious movie, so I suggest take a look at it. It's just really one of my favorite new movies of the last couple of years here.
Now, one question.
Sure.
Does Fido run at normal speed or limp along like a zombie?
They all just kind of limp along. Nobody's really hauling ass.
Oh.
And there's different, you know, it's funny. There's all the people in town each have their own little deal with their zombies and the way they treat them. And it's just classic. I don't want to give any more away. Just, you know, we've tasted enough. Watch the movie. You got to see it for yourself. Report back to me. Tell me what you think of it. But honestly, I would say out of 5 stars, 5 ghosts for this movie,
mm-hmm.
I would give this movie a 4.
Huh.
Yeah. I would go 5. You said 2, Ben? And 1? And come on. What, have you guys actually seen the movie?
You're just jerking your chain.
Were you sleeping? No? How can they not enjoy this movie? It was a great movie. What were you going in? You were looking for Shaun of the Dead, though. to be that kind of fast-paced, more fun activity? You got to kick the volume way up on her mic if she's going to talk to us.
I get it.
All right.
No, not really. I mean, I just wanted something to entertain myself and saw it on the TV, clicked on it, watched about the first hour and a half of it, and...
It's an hour and 36 minutes. Well, you really couldn't commit for the last 5 minutes, Ben? Come on. That's why you'll remain intern, Ben.
No, that's why I'm always the intern.
That's right. So you guys really didn't dig it. I loved it. I thought, what didn't you like about it?
I just thought it was just too cheesy.
But that's the beauty of it. Don't you like taking a genre? I like when they take a genre and turn it on its head. And they give you something that everybody's used to seeing, and there's still the zombie attacks, there's still the zombie mentality, and there's still the what do they call it, the wasteland or something, the wild zone,
yeah,
where the zombies are kept outside the chain link fence. They basically have partitioned off cities and
the banishment
everything.
Area,
right?
Type
so there's
thing.
And if you screw up and you're an idiot, there's no more crime and punishment. Really, they just toss your ass right over the chain link fence into the wild zone. But I just like when they take a genre like that. But you know, I'm also the guy that liked Jason X. Because I love the fact that they took Jason to outer space and that he's messing, you know, in the holodeck and killing people. I just thought that was a funny little movie. And I was also, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't repeat any more of the strange movies. Yeah. I love the Friday the 13th, The New Blood, where he goes up against the girl with telekinesis. Because it was just great to see her kick Jason's ass and you know, it be somebody, a strong girl model that wasn't just running and screaming. She was just as psychotic as Jason. I thought it was fantastic. So I like the little twists and quirky bits like that. Speaking of quirky bits, let's go to our international news correspondent. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us all the way from London, England, only now he's back here in the United States, and he's going to be live with us tomorrow at the Healthy Life Expo in Hopkins at the Hopkins Eisenhower Community Center. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the master of disaster, Adrian Lee. Good evening, Adrian.
Hi, Dave. Hello, America. Did I hear you discussing my quirky bits?
Yes, your quirky bits. Now, you know, check this out. What a trooper this guy is, Tim.
Yeah.
He spent 95,000 hours on a plane to get here today.
Around the world 18 times.
95,000 hours.
Yep.
And came into the studio, and he was a trooper, and he looked like a hangdog, dude. He looked like he had gone through 95,000 miles. And I said, you know, we're having you on the last hour tonight, Adrian. And he just looked at me, and I said, "What? Do you want to go home? And we'll just do this as a phone-in for the last hour." So he got to go home and sleep for 3 hours. And he still got up to do the show. So it's just like we're really calling him in London and waking him up in the middle of the night. So, Adrian, thanks for coming back and being here with us tonight.
No, nothing's changed, is it? I'm in America, but it's still 5 o'clock in the morning for me.
That's right. And we're still waking your ass out of bed to tell us the news of the world.
I was going to say, he's under the sheets with a torch. Sure, he took a nap. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
All right, Adrian, where are we going to go to in the world here?
Okay, let's jump in with gay abandon with 2 feet and without any fear for one's own personal safety into the world of weird and wacky.
Yes.
In Wolverhampton, England this week, city magistrates have fined a former catering company boss for cooking with a dead body nearby. Jaswinder Singh, 45, was fined around $6,700 and banned from managing any food businesses after police officers responded to reports of a worker's sudden death at the Papu Sweet Centre. They found Singh continuing to cook kebabs with a corpse sprawled out on a sofa just feet away from the food. Several things here. I mean, you've got to ask yourself 2 searching questions. 1, is he working his staff too hard? And 2, his attitude of the show must go on. Is it misplaced? Authorities said a dead rat was also found under a cooking pot on the premises and rat droppings were discovered during a health inspection. Inspectors said they witnessed employees spitting and smoking in food preparation areas. The city council will not tolerate premises who put the public at risk by preparing food in insanitary conditions, said Barry Findlay of the Wolverhampton City Council Cabinet. He's a member of the Environment. We are pleased that the council's actions have resulted in the courts banning this individual from ever running a food business again. Now, Dave, are there any genuine reasons why you could use or anything you can think of where you could actually use a dead body in a food preparation area?
Well, you know, that way, I guess for your advertising, you can say people are dying to get a reservation here.
What about deadpan pizzas? Is that a way to go?
Deadpan pizzas? Yeah, I like the sound of that.
you could turn him on his front, and then you'd have somewhere to park your pizza delivery bike. How's that?
Oh, no. That is disturbing and funny all at the same time. What's our next short little story here before we go to our first break this hour, Adrian?
We're staying in England to celebrate an anniversary. Britain's oldest virgin celebrated her 105th birthday this weekend and says no sex is the secret to her long life. Having known she would remain single from the age of 12, Clara Meadmore abstained to concentrate on earning a living. She has never had sex because she was too busy for an intimate relationship, which seemed like a lot of hassle. The retired secretary said sex equaled marriage in the 1920s and 30s, and she did not buy into the idea, which is ironic because you have to buy your way out of the idea in the 21st century. But she said she's proud to remain a virgin, and she said she'd had lots of offers, but she turned them all down, and she's now 105. She said some men don't like that in a woman, that she's too confident and concentrated on her work, and she says she's too old to marry anyway. But I'm not so sure about that. I mean, there might be some people that might like old age creeping over them.
Tim?
Wow. It's a good thing it's after 11.
That's right.
I've got to say.
She says instead of looking after her husband, she said she'd prefer reading, gardening, cooking, listening to the radio and walking. But I guess at the end of the day, you just can't beat a really good, hard, long walk, can you, I guess?
Well, with that, we're going to take our first break of the hour. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Yes.
I had to do
you're
it.
Oh, Tim, you need help. Like a virgin right here. You're listening to the Top and Pop. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness Radio right here on your home of Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Mr. Tim Dennis, intern Ben, and what's our co-title now? We can't call him intern.
No, what can we call him?
Hanger on. Phone answering guy.
General radio bum.
General.
I like that, general bum.
Crazy guy under the stairs.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well then you go ahead and dub him that, Tim. Introduce your little minion.
My little pal.
Yeah.
My little minion. My little dealer of fate.
Yes.
Phone fate. This would be, you want Andy or Andrew? Andy? He says,
Andy.
Andy?
Yeah.
Now you know why he's not on the radio. That's his answer. Every time he talks to me over the microphone, I hear, yeah, someone's thinking. Andy, welcome to the show. You're here with us every week. You're the silent majority, sir.
Majority, huh?
Yeah. You are. You're the only one that's silent on the show, so that would make you the silent majority.
It used to be me, but thank God I got a mic. No,
exactly.
I'm kidding.
Andy, thanks for helping us out and answering phone calls and being with us every night. We appreciate that.
Thank you. I like being here listening to all the awesome things you guys talk about.
Oh, look at him. He's bucking for a raise. Tim, double his pay, sir.
That sounded pre-programmed, didn't it? Yes, I am. I am glad to be here on Darkness Radio.
Yes, my master.
Well done. All right, we're going to go back to international news correspondent. This is the guy pulling in the big bucks right here, Tim.
I know.
He must be because he's traveling here like every other month.
I'm trying to make him feel at home. I had a little Molly Hatchet going. The Like a Virgin thing was not for him, by the way.
Yeah,
but the whole Molly Hatchet thing, that was for him. Maybe some Motorhead later.
Excellent.
Little Lemmy. Will make you feel at home, won't it, Adrian?
It would do. I was hoping you'd get The Boys Are Back in Town by Thin Lizzy.
I'll throw that one in for you, too.
Wow. All right. Well, Adrian, speaking about The Boys being back in town, where are we off to next in the world?
Well, sorry to say, and as much as it pains me, England have actually won the award this week for generating the most material for me. But I feel safe in saying that, seeing I'm 4,000 miles away at the moment, so we shall press on. Men who visit the University of Hertfordshire's Health and Human Science Research Institute, showcased next week, can have their dance moves scrutinised to get a rating on their expected attractiveness to women. Dr. Peter Lovett from the University School of Psychology will host a stand at the showcase when he will test his off-the-press research findings into what it is about a way a man dances that attracts a woman. Dr. Lovett, who teaches the only psychology of performance degree level course in the UK, carried out some research over the summer into what features of a men's freestyle dance communicate dominance, masculinity, attractiveness and quality, which he calls the DMAQ, to women. Previous studies in this field showed that female ratings of DMAQ, of men's freestyle dance, are associated with levels of prenatal testosterone and symmetry. Dr. Lovett himself, an ex-dancer, asked 55 women to rate him dancing in 12 different ways. The findings suggest that the ratings of DMAQ are influenced differentially by interactions between the size and degree of coordination and movement. The implications of these findings is that high testosterone men are unlikely to share a common pattern of dancing, which leads them all to being rated as universally attractive, said Dr. Lovett. He says at our showcase, we could help men with low prenatal testosterone to dance the dance of high testosterone by just varying their moves on the dance floor. So the key is not to be symmetrical and vary your moves and shapes there, Dave. I hope that's useful. useful for you?
Yeah, it's more than useful. I don't even know why I needed to know that, because I've already got this stuff down, Adrian.
Well, I think it's essential advice there to my dad, who insists on dancing like a 12-year-old on acid while shouting across the dance floor, "Look at me and your mother, we've still got it." Happy days.
Oh, that's frightening. Where are we off to next, Mr. Lee?
Okay, it's interesting that stories tend to come along in blocks. And right. We've had blocks of witchy stories and blocks of UFOs. This week, there's been quite a number of stories based along the theme of possessions. So, moving again into Britain, a university student from Coventry in England asked a preacher to perform an exorcism on a haunted suit he bought for job interviews. Dave Underhill began to think that the $30 charity shop suit was possessed when he began hearing strange footsteps. He also claims that he was cold whenever he wore the suit and that the jacket mysteriously moved along the wardrobe row. He called in a clairvoyant, Maurice Dunbar, after waking to find the suit had left his wardrobe and was strewn across the floor. Mr. Dunbar said that the Oxfam suit was haunted by the dead owner and told him to throw it away. I mean, I think the key here is to wear underwear that is splashed with holy water, and then you'll have this kind of yin-yang thing going on. You could have the old age conflict and fight between good and evil going on in your pants whilst you're answering questions about what you think you can bring to the company and the finer fiscal facts of their pension policy. Mr. Underhill took the jacket to a Pentecostal church meeting where the minister and congregation prayed and laid their hands on it. Mr. Underhill said that after prayers and laying on of hands, the suit seemed to change. He says, "Now I'm wearing it, and I hope it's a lucky suit, and he gets me the job." But going back to the dancing, I think that's quite a good thing. I'd quite like to wear a possessed suit on the dance floor. We could go to some 70s dance music and cut some shapes on the floor there.
Very nicely done. Yeah, now, you know, maybe it's just the fact it's the old adage that if he just washed the suit, it wouldn't literally walk off him. You know, I mean, if it's climbing out of the closet, that could be part of it, you think?
It's possible. I mean, it could be quite scary if you was on the dance floor listening to 70s music and you was possessed by that. I mean, first you could be afraid, you could be petrified. Sorry, just quoting some 70s music there.
Yes, I was with you.
You was with me.
Yeah, you're a little scared, you were petrified. Does this sound like, what is it, Donna Summer?
That's the one, you've got it.
I know, I'm all with you, man. I can follow along with you. We're going to take our break here real quick, Adrian. We're going to get back with more stories of the scary and supernatural from all around the world with our international correspondent, Adrian Lee. Mr. Dennis, please take us out as we go to break. And you have a meeting with the paranormal right here on your home of Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Dave Schrader. He's Tim Dennis. And on the other end of the line is Adrian Lee. Adrian, we're going to be out tomorrow at the Healthy Life Expo. You're joining us for that tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, I'll get a good night's sleep, and I'll be there helping you out.
Great. We're going to be out there at the Hopkins Eisenhower Community Center tomorrow, Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can find us there at 1001 Highway 7 in Hopkins. Again, that's at the Hopkins Eisenhower Community Center at 1001 Highway 7 in Hopkins. Dave, probably Tim. Maybe Tim?
Yeah, I'll be out there for a little while.
For a little bit?
I got to tell you why.
Okay.
A little time out here for football.
Oh, God.
I live, die, and breathe Minnesota Vikings football. Big game tomorrow against the Bears. And now here's a tip for all the husbands who are going to get dragged out to the Healthy Life Expo by their wives. Get yourself a little, some headphones, a little radio. Put it right here on 100.3 K-Talk. Minnesota Vikings football at noon, baby.
That's right.
That's right.
That's going to be the way to tune in. And otherwise, ladies, leave those bums at home to watch a football game and come out and hang out with a couple of real men. Dave Schrader and Adrian Lee are going to be out there.
How you doing?
Hey, I also want to mention on Monday night, you can come out and see Tim, Adrian, myself, and I think we're going to have Nicole with us at the Minneapolis Indie Horror Fest, featuring three horrifying full-length feature films from Minnesota's finest. General admission on that, I think, is $10 for 18 and up and $8 for 21 and up. You come in costume, you can win new releases from Warner Brothers Home Videos, tattoos, comics, magazines, concert tickets, and more. For more information on this, come on out. It's going to be great. You can go to the Rock Nightclub at 2029 Woodland Avenue in Maplewood. Their phone number for ticket information is 651-770-7822. Again, ticket information at 651-770-7822. That's at the Rock Nightclub in Maplewood. That takes place on Monday, October 20th. And also, talking about Monday, October 20th, don't forget to TiVo. Set it on your recorder if you can't watch it live. Support our lovely Nicole. She's going to be on Showcase Minnesota on Care 11 on Monday, talking about five horror movies that you should see.
I want to remind people, too, about the Indie Horror Fest. People who are the naysayers who say Minnesota can't put out a good horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
I got two words for you. Coen Brothers. They first put somebody in a wood chipper.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. Well, you think do you really consider that a scurry?
Is that really a horror movie, though?
No, that's a horrific act.
Well, it is. And seeing Prince run in the snow in his big oversized jacket and get shot at the beginning. Did you know that was Prince?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when they roll him over, it's a white guy.
Yeah.
So, but he was the stunt runaway shoot guy in that movie, just to let you know. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. There's some story you couldn't report on before we got a hold of it, Mr. Lee.
That's right.
Am I right in thinking the Little House on the Prairie was there as well?
Oh, sure. Take it right back to there, man.
That was the scariest one of all, Adrian.
That's right. All right. Where are we going next in the world, Mr. Lee?
Well, I was going to say I'm looking forward to coming out with you guys tomorrow just to unleash the accent. What do you think?
Oh, that's right. We call him Weapon X. As soon as the women hear that accent, Tim, you and I no longer exist.
I kind of already am melting, and then that's a shame, really.
Oh, you know what? I got to make another quick mention here for the folks in the chat room and for everybody else tuning in. We've got something cool going on. We have a scary story contest. We want your original scary stories. Email them into dave@darknessradio.com. They have to be between 1,500 words or 2,000 words. Short story, scary story. We've had some really cool submissions so far. What we're going to do is we're going to go through this. They got to be in by the 27th of October. We're going to go through, all of our staff is going to read those stories. We're going to judge them, and we will read the top 10 on the air at some point. But the other item that we're doing here, Adrian, how does this sound? You know, Darkness Radio, we like to give back. And what we're doing is we're going to collect those stories. We want you guys to sign off on this with us. We've also put out a call to our friends Jay and Grant from the Ghost Hunters, Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, Richard Felix from Most Haunted, a lot of our other friends in the field, Marley Gibson, the author, who's got a great new book series called Ghost Hunters coming out next year. She's submitted a story. Tim, your lovely lass is going to submit a story, isn't she?
Marie D. Jones, baby.
I meant Michelle.
Oh,
nicely done, sir.
No, she's not.
You got to shake her tree. Make her write a story.
You know what? You know what it was?
Ben's going to put in a story, right?
I believe so.
Why is Michelle's lame reason for not writing a story?
She didn't want to go up against Marie.
Oh, it's a little jealousy. That's the way it is. We've got the, so you submit your stories. We're going to have these stories published in a book that we're going to offer on our website, and we're going to sell it. All profits from this book, every profit from this book is going to go to Second Harvest Food Shelf, Second Harvest Heartland. This distributes food and much needed food, and we're going to be doing it to the different states. We're going to break it up every month so that money is going to every state. For every $1 that you donate to Second Harvest Heartland, $9 of food are delivered for that. So a $50, as low as $50, Tim, $50 donation is worth $450 worth of food.
You're quick with that math there, partner.
I read it off their website. I know how to do this. But, yeah, you guys want to be a part of this. It'll be the first annual Darkness Radio. And I think this is the title of the book. What do you think, Tim?
Okay.
Darkness Radio presents Scary Stories to Poop By. Paranormal Potty Manual. What do you think?
I like it. Paranormal Potty Manual.
That's right. So, people, you finally have the perfect deuce book. You can sit down, read a quick story, and then get back on with your life.
You got 10 minutes on the loo. You got 10 minutes
for us. You can be published and forever emblazoned in people's memories as they take a poop and read good ghost stories.
Aww.
So, if you want to do that, send in your scary stories to dave@darknessradio.com. Adrian, let's go back into the weird world of the news. What do we got coming up next, sir?
Well, I was just going to mention, I had to look in the chat room, actually, during the break, and there's a number of people in there think I could play James Bond. So how does that sound? I can do that.
I think you should fill in.
My name's Lee. Adrian Lee, I think, was mentioned.
Yes, very well done.
I need to find a cat or something, though, and some gadgets, I suspect.
Yes. I think Tim can supply you with a few of his gadgets.
Those things don't shoot anything.
Oh, God. All right, where are we off to, Adrian?
Okay, we've got more possession stories this week, and this one's from the Far East. A peacock possessed with the soul of a 28-year-old Cambodian woman has taken up residency in the family home after they found it sitting on her grave. Um Sokum told her father a week before she died that her human life was coming to an end and that she would return as a bird, reports a Buddhist newspaper this week. Actually, I've just realized. Do you think Buddhist newspapers are easier to recycle?
It's a little reincarnation joke for you there, Tim. Oh, I mean, joke.
They sit on the newspaper stand thinking if they achieve nirvana, they'll come back as a glossy periodical. Sorry, that just came to me. I like that. That's
very well done. Well, at least you're amusing yourself, Adrian. That's half the battle.
I'm happy to amuse myself on my own. That's not a problem. 3 days after her burial, her father discovered a peacock sitting on her grave, and he said, "Socom, if your soul is really in the peacock, please come back to bed where you used to sleep." He then said that the peacock jumped onto the bed and relaxed. So hundreds of villagers have been flocking to see the peacock every day, and they're offering it holy presents and money in the hope that it will heal their ailments.
Oh, very cool.
Excellent.
So, wait, to heal their what? Ailments?
Their ailments.
Or did you say almonds? Tim, I heard almonds. The English accent is thick.
Yeah, so
is this a game where the Americans are correcting my English accent?
Welcome to America, Junior. Speak
when
our
I
language,
say
would
garage,
you?
Garage, and they say, no, it's garage.
Wait, tell everybody what you're wearing right now.
What I'm wearing?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you wearing?
Is it turning into this kind of phone call?
Yes. No, we're going to talk about English language here. You go ahead and tell them what you told us. You're going to go back to your home, and you're going to put on your...
dressing gown.
Aww,
you're cute.
Sing it, you sexy Brit.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Don't make me come over there.
Not in your dressing gown. No, thank you, sir. And make sure you're dressed properly in trousers.
We wear high heels with your dressing gown. That's all I want to know.
That's right. All right, where are we off to next, Mr. Lee?
This is racism. Is there some sort of policy at K-Talk to do with racism in the world?
This is not racism. We're simply picking on you. You're British.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's not a race.
No.
All right.
Oh, no, I'm not going back to Independence Day again. We're leaving that well alone. I want to stay in the Far East now. There was an interesting story that appeared this week investigating the link between the paranormal and the police, and this ties in really well with what has been on the show in the last couple of hours, actually. 10 years ago, a Buddhist medium, Lu A Pang, was approached by a frantic housewife who told him that her husband had disappeared after leaving Singapore to seek his fortune. Mr. Lu, 61, said his psychic powers revealed that the man was alive and in Thailand, but the news came with an ominous warning. "I told her she had to find him quickly. If not, he would not be able to return home with her," he recalled recently. The woman eventually tracked down her husband, only to find him emaciated and begging on the streets. He had lost all his money in doomed business ventures and died soon afterwards, after the couple were reunited. The housewife was one in a small group of Singaporeans who turned to a psychic in their desperate search for answers about loved ones who had disappeared or been murdered. This topic of paranormal help was raised last week at a conference organized by security firm Curtis Cisco and the Malaysian-based International Center for Security Management. Malaysian criminologist Justin Lowe recounted a case earlier this year when a missing businessman was found with the help of a medium. And by then, he had already been murdered by a group of youths who had robbed him and used his credit cards. Although the police suspected that he had been abducted by foreigners, his family turned to many mediums to find him. Some said he was dead, some said he was alive, but among them all, one accurately predicted where he was held, where his body would be found, and the race and nationality of the ones responsible. Law enforcement officials here and abroad have long been skeptical about purported connections to the spirit world, saying that paranormal tips are a waste of time and resources. Retired senior detective Lim Beng-Gi said psychics had never successfully helped the police solve a case in Singapore, but there certainly have been many instances where victims have parted with lots of money to these mediums with no results, he said. He pointed to one case where a teenage girl had disappeared from her home. Her mother searched Pulau Ubin and Kusu Island on the advice of a temple medium, and a $3,000 bill later, the woman's daughter actually came home on her own, and she'd been staying with a friend all the while. And it says, while psychics have claimed to help police investigations everywhere from the United States to Malaysia, Singapore police are loath to turn to paranormal clues. Retired detective with 30 years' experience said it was a matter of pride. He said nothing beats solid policing work. After hard work has cracked a case, you can gloat about it with your colleagues. And if you go through a supernatural route, he says there's no pride in that. However, Mr. Eugene Toh, the president of the Society for Paranormal Investigators, said paranormal help should not be dismissed out of hand. There are still some things around us which cannot be explained. At the very least, paranormal help could provide the police with some leads if the investigation does not turn anything up, he says. The most prominent case here, which highlighted how a desperation can drive one to give the paranormal some credence, was back in 2004 when an 8-year-old girl, Hang Nei, was murdered by a Malaysian vegetable packer. Her desperate mother scoured the area after a relative had a vision that she was being held on a hill. In the end, the vision was actually correct, and the decomposed body of this girl was found stuffed into a box 3 weeks after she'd gone missing. Lawyer Amalat Singh said the evidence submitted by mediums could not be accepted in a court of law. Most of our literature and the training of experts is actually science-based, so the evidence of mediums is considered to be in the legal twilight zone. If such evidence is used and accepted, they say they're opening the floodgates to the realms of the unknown and the unprovable, and then they're asking the question, where do you go from there? He says it's not uncommon for psychics in the US and the United Kingdom to claim that they have helped the police to crack cases where there are few leads, although these have rarely been acknowledged by the police or the police forces. So quite an interesting report coming out of Singapore this week that perhaps touches upon some of the things you've already discussed in the show tonight.
Right, exactly. And that is, you know, that is part of the hardship, too, with using psychics on these cases. A lot of times that deflects the case and actually can hurt it. That's why I said it's harder to report on the successes that a lot of these mediums have had. Adrian, we have to take our quick break here, last break of the hour, so stick with us. All you guys stay with us. You're listening to Darkness Radio right here on your home of Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. Hey, folks, welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Make sure to join us at our first annual Halloween blowout bash at the very haunted Palmer House in Sauk Center, Minnesota. It's a free party. Come on out and join us as Darkness Radio's first annual Halloween blowout bash brings together the entire paranormal team from Darkness Radio. There's Dave. There's Tim, there's Ben, there's Adrian, there's Nicole, there's Susan, there's Bree. We're all going to be there under one roof. God, I hope the terrorists didn't hear that, Tim. They could take us out with one stink bomb.
And I see Johnny, and I see
that's
Billy.
That's right, romper, stomper, bumper, boo. Mm-hmm. So come on out and join us. It's a great time. For more information, go to darknessevents.com. It is free admission to join us due to the fact that our good friends at ghostshop.com have picked up the tab for the party part. So we hope that you will join us. And again, Mr. Lee is only in town once in a while, so you get a chance to meet him. So you can either join him there, or you can join him at the Healthy Life Expo with me tomorrow at, again, Hopkins Eisenhower Community Center, 1001 Highway 7 in Hopkins. You can be out there 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Come out and stop by our booth, say hi, see some of the other fantastic speakers that are out there as well. It's going to be a great time. And we're going to be in the Anoka Halloween Parade next week, Tim.
Yes, sir.
On Saturday the 25th. I believe it starts at 11 o'clock in the morning.
That's pretty early.
So we're going to be out there. Tim will be hungover. So come on out there, hang out with Adrian, Tim, myself. We're going to be a part of the Halloween Parade. Let's get back into tonight's show. And we're going to talk a little bit more, some of the weird news of the world. Go ahead, Mr. Adrian Lee. Where are we off to now, sir?
We're staying in, we're going to go to Canada, actually. I'm liking the sounds, by the way, Tim. That's reminding me of my childhood there.
It's all for you, buddy.
Fantastic. We're going to Canada now, moving back to the cemetery. A 77-year-old man died on Monday night in a cemetery in Buckingham in western Quebec in Canada after a tombstone fell on top of him, police say. Officers said the man had gone to St. Grigor Cemetery to visit the site where his parents were buried, and he was digging next to the tombstone when it fell. It appears he moved the stone and was digging a hole around the foundations when the concrete block fell on his back, said Constable Isabelle Poirier. Another visitor to the cemetery noticed an apparent abandoned car on the ground and called police just after 7 p.m. Officers searched the cemetery for the car driver and found the man under the gravestone. Paramedics pronounced him dead on the scene, which is rather unfortunate. I suspect he was probably planting some flowers or some kind of plant there when that happened to him.
Oh, that's
so
horrible.
I feel quite sorry for the guy.
And isn't it ironic? What do you
think,
Tim?
Think?
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. Yeah, it is a little bit ironic. So he's digging up at the grave and ends up dying due to a headstone injury.
It's not good news, is it?
Have you done any research on it for us, Adrian? How many people actually die by headstone injuries every year?
Let me think. No, I haven't done any research on that, Dave. No. Strangely enough.
All right, go ahead. Where are we off to next, sir?
Well, I was about to say I'll look into it for you, but I think even if I research into that, I still won't be able to tell you, to be perfectly honest. Unless you know a website where that information's available to me.
Dead by headstone. No, that's sad.
I'm going to make it my goal now to find that. You bear with me. I'll find that.
All right, good. You do that. Get on that. Hey, have you talked to the guy with the haunted painting yet? Are we going to be able to talk to this cat?
I have done, yes. See, he does want to come on and have a chat with you. Yeah, we did a story, didn't we, about 3 or 4 weeks ago where there was a painting that's been in the possession of about 12 people, and they keep giving it back to the shop because when they take it home, they hear unusual noises and find the painting on the floor and have all kinds of weird things happening to them. So this psychic has actually got hold of this painting now, and he's doing some research on it, and he's actually writing a book surrounding that. He did say that he wanted to be on the show, so we can follow that up and have a chat with him.
Hey, I got to mention, too, real quick, Adrian. Sorry to drop this on your news segment, but people keep asking me about it. Tim, our very first UFO conference and Skywatch is available and up for sale on our website.
Yep.
This is pretty cool, man. We're not just going to be going out ghost hunting this time. We're going out UFO hunting at the very active Trout Lake, Washington UFO Ranch, the Eseti Ranch. For more information on the ranch itself, go to eceti.org. There's a lot of cool videos and photographs there. But if you want information on our trip, come on out. You get 3 nights of sky watching, 2 full days of activities and great speakers. So it's going to be fantastic. Which leads me, next week, Tim.
Yes.
Saturday night. On Darkness Radio.
It's all right for fighting, baby.
Jesse Marcel Jr.
Will wrestle who?
No. He's going to be with intern Ben wrestling.
Hey, yeah, all right.
That's an inter-class.
We're going to put him in jail.
Jesse Marcel Jr. is a retired colonel.
Uh-huh.
He is the son of Jesse Marcel, who was one of the first government officials on the site of the Roswell crash. Jesse Marcel Jr. also saw the pieces that his father had and knows that it wasn't just part of Project Mogul and a part of an aluminum foil deal. So he's going to be on the show talking about his book, and we're going to be interviewing him next week. I'm really excited about this. We're also going to talk to Jesse about joining us out at the UFO ranch. So that should be a lot of good, a lot of fun. And also the guys from Alien Secrets said that they would join us at the ranch as well. We've got Bill Burns from UFO Hunters. The guys from Alien Adventures are going to be out there. You know, we're working on some other fantastic speakers, including Bill Chappell, who is with GhostShop.com, is creating some new technology to help us try to communicate with the UFOs. For all that information, go to darknessevents.com. We got about 2 minutes left in the show, Adrian. Sorry to keep eating up your time. What do we got next?
I was I found this story quite interesting this week. Again, due to the Information Act in Britain, that we get quite a lot of things released at the moment from the government. I don't know what it was like for you growing up, but in Britain, I grew up in the 70s and 80s with a real fear of nuclear war. You know, it was always on the telly. There was adverts what to do in a nuclear war, and there was a general feeling, that there was a real threat that any minute there could be a full-out, you know, nuclear attack. And this was partly down to the fact, of course, that a lot of your American missiles are actually based in Britain. So we were going to be first on the target list if anything came over.
Well, thanks for that.
That's all right. Did you have that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. I used to have nightmares about it. I actually wrote a letter to Ronald Reagan when I was a kid and got a response.
Yeah, was it in Crown?
No, but it was a pre-printed autograph picture.
He said, "Well, Dave, now there you go again."
That's right.
So I just wanted to touch upon this because a script written by the BBC and the government, which was to be broadcast in the event of a nuclear attack, was actually published this week. The script written in the 1970s and released by the National Archives included instructions to stay calm and stay in your home. It said communications had been disrupted, and the number of casualties and the extent of the damage were unknown. Other papers revealed debates about how to ensure the person reading the script was authoritative and comforting, and the script was discussed from 1973 to 1975 during the height of the Cold War. It was released along with letters between government departments and BBC executives, and the BBC had previously made some of the documents public under the Freedom of Information Act, but this is the first time that they've all been made widely available. In a letter from June 1974, Harold Greenwood from the Ministry of Posts and Telecommunications discussed who should read the announcements to give it an authoritative and a comforting tone. He said, "I would expect that in that period of crisis preceding an attack, a similar association of a particular voice, an authoritative voice of the BBC, would be developed." Mr. Greenwood said recorded announcements by an unfamiliar voice would not reassure listeners. He said, "Indeed, if an unfamiliar voice repeats the same announcement hour after hour for 12 hours, listeners may begin to suspect that they are listening to a machine set to switch on every hour, and perhaps after all that, the BBC has perhaps been obliterated." He said the script, in the script, he said the country has been attacked with nuclear weapons, communications have been severely disrupted, and the number of casualties and the extent of the damage are not yet known. So they actually put in place a script specifically to read out for a full nuclear attack. He said there was nothing to be gained by trying to get away. To get away with it, he warned. He said, "By leaving your homes, you could be exposing yourself to greater danger. If you leave, you may find yourself without food, water, accommodation, without protection." He says, "Those in radioactive fallout areas should be told to wait in a fallout room until a siren is sounded or the all-clear message had been given over the airwaves."
That's bleak, Adrian. Well, I'm glad that they're delivering that for you. We got to wrap up, buddy. Thanks a lot for being a part of the show. We'll see you out tomorrow at the Hopkins Eisenhower Community Center. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show.